You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20. Capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z Zibby 20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white open long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm also the host of Moms Don't Have Time to Lose Weight, and I'm the editor of the anthology, which you should run out and buy, called Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology. All proceeds of that book go to COVID-19 vaccine research. And I'm the editor-in-chief of Moms Don't Have Time to Write, a new publication on Medium, and we're accepting submissions, so please send your personal essays there. And if all that isn't enough, you can follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. Okay, now back to this amazing podcast. Zoë Stage is the author of Getaway. She is the USA Today and internationally bestselling author also of Baby Teeth and Wonderland. A former filmmaker with a penchant for the dark and suspenseful, she lives in Pittsburgh. Welcome, Zoë. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Getaway.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. By the way, I thought the funniest part of this book was when the three women were all, you know, hiking, obviously, in the Grand Canyon, and they have a conversation about writing books. And Imogen is saying sometimes books aren't about the writing. It can be a completely different kind of book. This is your life, your words. I'm sure it'll do really well. And she says, if I can write it, it's probably the most daunting thing I've tried to do. Except for this, Beck offered, you might be relieved after this to get home and only have to write a book, which is brilliant and so funny. So can you tell listeners what Getaway is about?
Sure. So Getaway is about sisters Imogen and Beck and their friend from high school, Tilda. And they've all, you know, been friends for 20 years or so, except that Tilda and Imogen have some issues between them, some things that have come between them, and their relationship is estranged. And Imogen has also recently gone through some sort of traumatic experiences. So Beck, her sister, has this idea that she'll take all of them to the Grand Canyon for a 7-day backpacking trip, and that will be the perfect environment for them to work their stuff out and sort of get their lives back together. And then very soon after their trip starts, Imogen starts seeing and experiencing things that get her worried. And her sister Beck thinks, oh, well, this is just Imogen being paranoid because she has these issues. But then at some point, things start to happen that make it very clear that no, something is happening. There is perhaps someone there whose presence is going to imperil their trip. And I don't want to say too much more about it because I think it's nice to experience it as it unfolds and not know quite what's going to happen.
This book is like why I don't like to go hiking, basically. This is like every fear I have of hiking comes true in this book. I feel like you should talk to, have you read Claire Nelson's book? It's her memoir. What was it called? Something like How Fear of Falling or something. It's about how she falls off a cliff and had to live in by herself in Joshua Tree for 3 days. And she's British.
I've not read that. That sounds very
interesting. Yeah, I feel like the two of you would be good in conversation. Maybe I'll, you know, if you ever want to do that or have me moderator, have someone moderator. You two take that show on the road. I feel like you should talk with the walking sticks and you with your dad, not you with your dad, the character with her dad, Imogen, his walking stick going flying and her walking stick. And anyway, I feel like I've been living in the hiking world and I just need to shore up my boots to get going here. But this book starts off, interestingly, with the shooting, the Pittsburgh shooting in the synagogue. And in the notes, it looks like you're from Pittsburgh and you were like Pittsburgh strong, blah. So tell me about your experience of that incident and how you decided to put that real life event in as the opening for this novel.
Yeah, I live in Squirrel Hill. I'm a native Squirrel Hill resident. I have spent some years outside of Pittsburgh, but whenever I come back to Pittsburgh, I live in Squirrel Hill and I bought a house in Squirrel Hill. And the morning that that happened, I mean, it was so freaky because had I not had a book event that day, I would not have turned on the news. But it's like I was getting ready to go to a book event. I was going to have something to eat. So I turned on the news and was absolutely shocked to find my neighborhood on the news. And at that time, like they were telling everybody to stay inside. And, you know, I started like messaging online because that's what you do. I go out to Twitter. Oh my God, there's a shooter in my neighborhood. And everyone's like, stay away from the windows. And I had no idea what was going to happen. And my sister was driving to my apartment to pick me up. And of course, I'm like freaking out. I didn't know where she was going to be outside. We didn't know where the shooter was. So for something like that to happen in such a small, close neighborhood was really traumatizing for this neighborhood. And it was very hard to get over it. It's not something you really get over. And to this day, I was walking up the street just a couple of days ago, and we still have these crocheted Stars of David that people sent from all over the country. And they're still hanging on some of the trees and on some of the parking lots. And so there was this constant daily reminder for months and months and months afterwards when I would just walk outside of my apartment and go to the supermarket. And it made it even harder to process. You know, it was very hard to just put it behind you. And I think that's how it found its way into my book, because it was still so present in my mind. And I process the world by writing. So for me, it's like, okay, well, let me write about someone else's experience of this, and it will help me kind of process it for myself. And I think it did help, honestly.
Well, I mean, I'm so sorry that that's happened and that that's your town. I mean, I was horrified when it happened to begin with, obviously. And I remember writing about it that night. I was like I would gone to a bat mitzvah that day. And, you know, it was such a meaningful, emotional moment to sort of be surrounded and hearing all the Hebrew and knowing that this had just happened. Anyway, so I'm terribly sorry. But what you said, I keep saying you, Imogen, when we talk about Imogen in the book, the fact that it's in her neighborhood, she feels like she can't get past it. And you're basically saying now, it's just like, she can't like drive another direction and forget about it. I honestly, right. I feel like that's happening a lot now with COVID, honestly. I mean, like my husband lost his mother and, you know, it's not like he can get away from COVID news, right? It's everybody's talking about every news thing, everything. So I feel like in some of these traumatic situations that are also shared by so many others and become national things, like it makes the individual experience somehow like just that much harder to get over and to cope with.
It does. I mean, on the one hand, you might think, oh, well, we're all in this together. Maybe there would be some sense of this shared experience and this camaraderie, but then there's also like, oh my goodness, we're all going through it. Are we all going to get out of it? Because mm-hmm. I very much have that with the pandemic experience too. My mom died of COVID.
Oh, so sorry.
And so it's actually like sort of traumatizing to, you know, see this big, you know, surge of hospitalizations and deaths again. And, you know, just think, my mom would have killed for a vaccine. You know, it's like, this shouldn't be happening. We live in such a strange time. And you know, I don't want to make your podcast a downer, but there's definitely this kind of national trauma. You know, I really do feel like we are going through this collective traumatic experience, and hopefully eventually all of us can figure out some way to recover from this and I hope be better on the other side somehow.
Yeah.
That's always my hope.
I'm so sorry about your mom.
Thank you.
We can trade horrific stories later off the podcast. I want to go down that road again, but it's true. I feel like everybody is, and the uncertainty, of course, you know, the fact that I just can't believe it's all starting. I don't. Anyway, that's why I keep like, I'm looking down. I'm just going to look down. I'm going to do my podcast. I'm going to go through life. Cause I mean, ultimately who knows what life's ever going to bring, but this just feels like such a crazy thing.
You can only control your own life and what you do and manage yourself. I was just talking about this to a friend yesterday, and I know she was so worried about the what ifs, but you know, we tomorrow isn't here. We just have today, and today we're fine. We're okay today. So we'll make today work.
Exactly. I know somebody was asking me about something in October. Like I need to like lock this in October. And I'm like, October is like a lifetime away in today's world. You know what I mean? Like, it's only August. Like, let me get out of this month. You know, let me just see, you never know. Anyway, so that leads your characters to go on this sort of like massive effort to cope, right? To really work through. And it wasn't even just this trauma from the beginning, but the thing which had happened also to Imogen and things they didn't want to talk about and that had interwoven all of their stories and the loss that they'd all had together and the fractured family life that bonded them to begin with. And now here they are. And it's like the ultimate in what you can't control, right? Like they literally can't do anything. It's like the whole novel like sort of speaks to that sense of you can be as prepared as you want and you can pack the backpacks and take pictures of the detritus by your feet and whatever. And yet things still are going to happen where you find yourself completely adrift. And yet you can make it through with your own sort of, you know, mind and cleverness and all the rest. So I don't know. I felt like that was the lesson of the book for me.
I think that's a good lesson. I mean, I think when people, you know, hear about what the book is and they might think, oh, it's some adventure thriller and it's action packed, but it's really much more internal than that. I mean, Imogen really has to think her way out of what's happening. She has to try to analyze Tilda because they don't get along as well anymore and think about her sister's reaction. They don't have all of this time to talk together. So she has to sort of internally process what's happening, analyze the situation, and use her cleverness, as you said, and her creativity and her mental ideas to figure out how can they get out of this situation? So I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a different approach for this kind of story, where it really is like, how does she think her way out of this?
Yep.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
But that's great, because that's empowering, because thinking is something that we can all do no matter what. Like, you can't take that away, like, no matter what else
happens.
So,
you know, and Imogen refers multiple times about how she's small and she feels like she's not as physically intimidating. You know, her sister's much taller and Tilda's big and strong. And, you know, Imogen is a very petite person. And so she doesn't feel physically powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think she hasn't felt even mentally powerful in her life. But it's like, this is her opportunity to take all of the things, the skills she's learned from writing novels and the things she's learned from studying human behavior, and figure out how to make this a survivable experience.
Well, that's great. It's great to put the power back in our control. Sort of like take back the canyon or something. I really loved Beck's wife as a character. And I feel like I wanted to see, I'll just be your editor. I wanted to see more of that character. So, you know, if you do a, you know, like some sort of spinoff or something, you know, I feel like there's a whole story behind her too, that you sort of dip into a little, but I don't know. I feel like you could do something more if you wanted to.
Important, you know, to have like secondary characters that still seem like they're just as important as the main characters. They're not in those scenes, but yeah, Afia is off living her life and doing her thing while they're in the canyon, but she's just as real of a person.
Yep. And tell me a little, I know obviously this happened in the synagogue as your opening, but there was some sort of spirituality, Judaism sort of woven in at different parts in the story. What is your philosophy on that? There was sort of like the half Jewish, what does that even mean? And all of that. Are you half Jewish? Like, you don't have to talk about it, or what? Just wondering about all that.
Yeah, I am. Honestly, there's a lot of ways in which I'm very similar to Imogen. I mean, it's kind of funny, like a lot of really superficial ways. You know, we're both writers, we're very reclusive. We're both petite. Yes, we are both half Jewish. And You know, as I said, I process my life through writing, and that was definitely something that I had been, exploring more of in the last couple of years. I did feel very out of place when I was a child. You know, I did not feel Jewish enough when I was with the Jewish side of my family or even in my neighborhood, which is very Jewish. I did not feel fully accepted by my dad's side of the family. You know, and the whole idea of organized religion was kind of confusing to me. I felt like I was a very spiritual person, but I couldn't figure out where that fit in. So by having Imogen explore that, you know, I got to think about some of those things too. And there are definitely ideas and a lot of the things that she expressed in the book, you know, about what she decides it means to be Jewish. Like, I feel that way. And I'm very attracted to those ideas, you know, that God or an empowering force can be anything, and you can change it from day to day if that's the way your feelings for it go. And I really like some of those ideas. And the idea, which I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying this, that she expresses later of, you know, this idea that some people have about heaven and hell. And, you know, and she says, you know, you have to live for this place, for here and now. And it's what happens here that counts.
It's true.
So I believe that very much too.
I think I dog-eared it. Let me see if, well, this is sort of, well, this is not totally related, but it is a Jewish theme. So I can bring it up now. You know, maybe this was it. Well, anyway, you had said she'd wanted, this is also how she felt. This is how Imogen is feeling about Gale. And she's saying she'd wanted to believe in a goodness in him that wasn't there. And Frank had done that, but believing that people are really good at heart hadn't kept her from dying at Bergen-Belsen. Imogen often thought of young Anne and the tragic irony that her physical life had expired, but the fragile pages she'd written in pencil lived on. How had Imogen been willing for so long to accept the microscopic degrees of Gale's humanity? Things had gone so far because she was weak. Anyway, it's true. And then the next page you had said, let's see, his in Judaism. Yeah, here it is. Good. I did get it. Gale appeared to be waiting for her to continue, so she did. In Judaism, it's about what you do with this life, the one you're living. This is the only life that counts. So, yeah.
Yes.
Check plus for me.
I know.
The passage. Okay. I'll put that down now. No, I totally agree with that. I'm Jewish myself, and, you know, I always feel this intense pressure to get the most out of every day because, you know, this is it. You know, this is sort of it, you know, like, race to the finish, like, what can you do? And I'm like, I have all these ideas that I want to do. And like, I just hope I don't die. You know, I just need to get them in. And if you, somebody I was chatting with was like, what? I don't think about that ever. And I was like, oh no, I think about it like every day, all the time. Like, that's like my motivating thing.
I think that's a great thing though, because it is true. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. You can't live for another time or another day or another experience. You know, it's got to do everything you can today that, you know, feels like what you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, while putting some things in the calendar, I guess, for October with a question mark, perhaps.
Yes, I do use the calendar, you know, and I hope that all of those things come to fruition, but you never know.
You never know. So what is coming next for you? Are you working on another book or what's in the cards?
I do. I just finished a first draft of a new book.
Congratulations.
I don't think I can really talk about it yet. I just showed it to my agents and I'm talking to my agents about it tomorrow. I'm pretty sure they like it, but like, it's so new. I don't even know how to describe it. It's very psychological. And then the other project that I will have out, I think in spring 2022, I will be publishing my first novella.
Ooh.
And it's going to be, I guess, a little bit off brand for me. It's not suspense or psychological in that way. It's a dark fairy tale, and it works as a parable. So, you know, on the surface, it's a story about this young girl who keeps growing and growing and growing, and she grows into a giant, and her father and the doctors are so worried about her, and they're trying to concoct some sort of treatment to help her, and she's terrified of their treatment, so she runs away, and it's the journey of her discovering who she really is. So it's very much a fairy tale, but it's, in my mind, it serves as a parable for how patriarchy treats the female body, of always having an opinion on it, always needing to be involved in what's happening, and, you know, just making girls and young women feel a certain way about who they should be and what they should be. And here she is, very different than what's considered normal and acceptable. And so she's trying to figure out how she fits in with that. So it's a little different from me, but still kind of dark and a little bit whimsical.
Interesting. So this is the petite wanting to be tall situation replaying itself in this terrible.
I'm not really happy being petite.
No, how tall are you? I'm
5'1".
Okay.
I'm 5'1".
I'm 5'2". So I'm like a giant in this conversation. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay. So what advice would you have for aspiring authors?
Oh gosh. You know, that's tricky because I think the advice would vary depending on where you were in the process. You know, whether you were writing your first book or whether you were seeking publication or whether you were about to be published for the first time. It definitely, there's a go with the flow kind of thing that happens for sure. There's a stick to it and don't give up thing that needs to happen for sure. And, you know, one of my other life philosophies has to do with this idea of balance and opposition. You know, that good things don't exist without bad things and the darkness doesn't exist without the light, et cetera. So, you know, I know people very much think of getting published as a dream job. You know, it is, and it is a dream job, but as with anything, it has its ups and downs too. And I think sometimes writers get a little discouraged because of things that happen that are beyond their control, but there are just ups and downs. It's just the way it is. And I think if people can, you know, just understand that you're going to encounter a balance of things that are good and things that aren't as good, and just be prepared to roll with that. Hopefully it won't be as disappointing when you have some setbacks.
That's great advice. That's great life advice as well.
Okay.
I mean, from the woman who just took us all, you know, through the Grand Canyon for hundreds of pages. Thank you very much. So amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been so much fun and interesting and, you know, all the things. So thank you for sharing Getaway. And I'm excited for this to come out in the world. And I still have not been convinced to hike, but that's okay, because now I'm leaving this conversation feeling very tall and hopefully clever.
Just feel that you've been there, and maybe that's enough.
That's enough. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.